This podcast will be a bit different from what our listeners are used to hearing us talk about.
Yeah, that's because we're going to be talking to ourselves. You're welcome to listen in, of course, but we're attempting to make sure that we aren't passing blame onto others when the problem we're describing really rests at our own feet.
Welcome to the Before We Go podcast, featuring Dr. David Maines and his wife, noted author Karen Maines. Here's David and Karen Maines.
We don't know a whole lot about our chosen biblical subject or personality for this visit, but we can fill you in on a few facts anyway. Karen?
So the New Testament book of 2 Peter says about this person, we know this person was a, quote, preacher of righteousness, unquote.
Yeah, I kind of like that phrase, a preacher of righteousness. Our guess is that when he lived, many people thought of him as being a bit eccentric.
Probably. Put more positively, the New Testament book of Hebrews describes him as a man of holy fear. Anyway, it was a positive description, whatever it,
yes, it was.
Actually means.
Yeah. The man we're talking about is Noah, and the Bible doesn't really tell us all that much about him.
But in Genesis chapter 6, he is described as a, quote, righteous man, unquote, blameless among the people of his time. So the scripture at least looked in favor on him.
Yeah, same chapter, Genesis 6, verse 9, has a short phrase I really like, four words. Again, it's related to Noah. It says, he walked with God. I like that very
much.
Yeah,
we've gotten used to it, but what did it really mean? Mm-hmm. Lovely. We know the world of Noah's day was wicked. This is maybe 7 generations after Adam and Eve, and God said to Noah, I'm going to bring floodwaters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens, every creature that has the breath of life in it. What a proclamation.
Yeah, but the destruction wasn't going to be immediate, and that's because Noah needed time to build this huge ark beyond his imagination and beyond ours as well.
Wow. He's also going to have to gather all the animals that were to be included on his journey, this salvific journey.
You know, I was reading scripture, Karen, and I had a sense of a new thought. It's probably not original with me, but it says, and Noah and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives entered the ark to escape the waters of the flood. They were in there about a week. And then this verse comes. Pairs of clean and unclean animals, of birds, and of all the creatures that move along the ground, male and female, came to Noah and entered the ark as God had commanded Noah. So there's this sense, and maybe Noah didn't do that. Maybe these animals who would replenish the earth, they just came at God's command.
Yeah,
and
God's
command. They walked in, and the ark was ready for them.
Anyway, what Noah was doing wasn't something he could keep secret,
no,
right?
Not with that in his backyard, that huge monstrosity, the Bible, people probably said.
My guess is that conversations with people were inevitable and maybe innumerable. He also preached, I'm guessing, a number of extemporaneous sermons.
Let's talk about that because it'll help us get into what I'm struggling with as a person who sees himself as a preacher.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Concerning those sermons, would you say as Noah talked while he built this ark and others came around that they were scholarly and intellectual sermons?
I doubt it. I don't think he had time for that.
How about folksy, humorous sermons?
No, because he had a passion. Yeah.
Fire-breathing, angry sermons.
Well, on the edge, maybe.
Comforting, compassionate sermons.
No, I think he had an urgent message.
Yeah.
So I would categorize them as messages or preaching or communication that was filled with urgency.
That's the word that I've been struggling with. Okay, let's talk about today's sermons. We hear them in our churches. We listen on radio, television. You know, if somebody's going to a conference, they're going to probably hear a number of speakers. Are people hearing these urgent sermons today?
I don't feel like I'm qualified enough to speak to the whole, but the ones that I'm hearing are not urgent. They don't have a prophetic edge. And that's interesting, David, if that's typical of preachers in a large degree, because we are living in very, what I would say, are perilous times.
Yes.
I mean, we've had an extraordinary moral decline in our country. There isn't a baseline anymore of what we used to call the Judeo-Christian heritage. And it feels like many things are going askew or adrift. One of the things, you just look at the way women are dressing that we see on television. Cleavage shows all over the place. There is not a standard of modesty. And I'm not just pointing at that. The way we talk to one another, it used to be in our political system, we had a phrase that you heard a lot, my worthy opponent. Well, you don't hear anything about the worthy opponent, that you just blast the other side. So I would say crime is up. There's an unease in our culture. We've lost our moral base somehow, and we don't hear it addressed the way it should be, and it certainly isn't being addressed the way it should be in the places where we're hearing sermons.
I'm wondering whether I'm a part of the problem. Am I too careful in terms of what I say
so that I don't sound extreme in some way or another?
I feel in various ways God puts on the hearts of his spokesperson the urgent messages he wants voiced, rather than saying, let's talk about the culture, let's talk about ourselves.
Okay.
And I'm asking myself, do I have that urgency sense? I don't mean an over extreme. In the scriptures we've been reading, just a little bit later, you come in the life of Abraham to the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, and there you get a sense of urgency, because
right.
these messengers from God come, enter the city where Lot is living, and they begin to say to you, you got to get out of here.
It's going to be destroyed.
Do you know somebody who is related? Do you know somebody you want to go? And Lot kind of dallies.
Yeah.
And you get the feeling that they say, come on, come on, you don't have all time to waste.
Yeah.
His wife, the kind
she
of
turns
longing
and looks
back.
And longing, and yeah. Scripture says she was turned into a pillar of salt.
Yeah.
Wow.
So there is that, come on, right now. I don't know that that marks who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you can go to an extreme with that. And so I've been looking back on my life, and I don't know how God would grade me. I've kind of come up with this, and I've thought about it a lot. I think he might give me a B minus. It's not that I don't say the words.
Mm-hmm.
I've gone three times through Revelation now, relatively recently
mm-hmm.
on the podcast. And that's because I feel that book is speaking to people where we are today.
Mm-hmm.
And I've said to them, you know, in terms of the reducing of Revelation to key sentences, history is headed inexorably toward a bloody global showdown between the forces of good and evil, light and darkness, Christ and the Antichrist, God and Satan, which the devil wins decisively. However, only temporarily. And Jesus' followers need to understand this and to prepare themselves accordingly. Now, I've said that. I don't know how much people hear that. I have this sense that God would say, David, you don't have enough of an edge yet. You need to be more forceful in what you're saying.
I think sometimes people who have what we would term a prophetic message, the urgency of that drives them to communicate in extremes that often turns their hearers off. I'm thinking of the prophet, I don't know which one it was, that God said, walk through the streets naked and proclaim the word of the Lord. What we as communicators have to do is ask for God to give us the means to communicate the urgent messages in ways that they will be heard and received and understood by our listeners, not to turn them off by the enormity of what we have to say.
But it takes a certain amount of urgency just to get people to hear.
Yeah, that's true.
I do know I have this unease
mm-hmm.
about where everything is, and I wake up with it.
Okay.
As soon as I'm awake, it is there saying...
First thoughts, yeah.
Yeah,
wow.
This world as you know it now is not just going to be like this indefinitely.
I think that's really the Lord nudging you, David. I do. So
yeah.
What we have to do is find a way to communicate that so that it can be heard, and people
mm-hmm.
will say, yes, I agree with you. I see what you're saying. I've been feeling that myself, or whatever it is. And then what do we do? And this is where I think you're an extraordinary communicator. You always wrestle with what you have to say, but never leave it in a theoretical sense. You always give practicality to it. So if the message is an urgency, what are some of the things that we should be doing and asking other people, reminding other people that they should be doing?
Let me take it to a different topic.
Okay.
Okay. I feel keenly that one of the sins of the church today
mm-hmm.
is the sin of self-sufficiency. We can pull off this movement of the Holy Spirit by ourselves without going to our knees. And so I talk often. In fact, the recent book, I just sent the manuscript. I've been working on it for a long time. It's Prayer Vigilantes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's saying we're never going to see the movement of the Lord without numbers of people coming together and praying
not,
for a movement of the Holy
yeah,
Spirit.
Yeah, and it's not a once-a-week prayer meeting sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. I'm not knocking that. But this is filled with that urgency, so it's sustained, continual, dedicated kind of prayer. And I think that God raises that sort of prayer up in our lives. When we say, I want to do that work for you, then you wake up in the middle of the night with
mm-hmm.
this feeling of urgency.
But
or
I
being,
don't see that being caught by the church
yeah.
around the country. It's kind of like, we're not all that bad. We're very talented. We can make it without going to that prayer thing.
Well, let's go back to that self-sufficiency. I think we have trained pastors. They've gone to seminary. They've had training. We have people who are professionals who are successful in their professional lives. Maybe we've had a distress in our marriage and we've had counseling, and now we're being successful in curing those sorts of things that were giving us trouble. So there is a whole atmosphere of self-sufficiency. And the American mentality is, we can do it on our own.
Mm-hmm.
We can do it. I mean, that's part of who we are as a nation. So I agree with you on that. That self-sufficiency is something that each one of us needs to look at and say, is this standing in the way of me being dependent upon God's message in
mm-hmm.
my life? life and his work through me.
As spokespersons for the Lord, do our words convey a sense of urgency? That's what I'm wrestling with in terms of my own life. I feel it, Karen, not only in terms of opportunities that are given us to perform a certain function. You know, you're asked to give a devotional. You're asked to speak somewhere. What about our conversation?
Yeah.
You know, just in talking with other people, I hesitate to bring up what I feel because it casts a heaviness
on the whole conversation.
Yeah. But I find myself not saying sometimes what I feel the Lord would have me say, because all of a sudden what is a very enjoyable evening turns into a downer for people. I don't know where I am in all of that.
Or how to do that.
With the Lord.
How to do that well.
Yeah, I don't know your writing. You're a much better writer than I am. Maybe that's incidental. But in terms of your writing, do you have this sense of a need to bring people to the place where they say, there's an urgency here in this day?
No, I really don't. Not in the way that you feel it. And I do have a great desire to communicate well the things that are on my heart, to communicate that I think are often things that God, ideas and thoughts that God has given to me, or things that come up in my heart after I have read scripture. But I do believe you have a much more of a prophetic sense, not so much in a forth-telling way, although that's part of it, as in the urgency to tell God's word in a way that it can be heard and understood. I mean, I do believe that's your calling. I remember when we were just starting to date, this may embarrass you, David, but you were in your early 20s and I was in my teens. And I remember one of the things that impressed me so much about you that didn't come up from the other college guys I was dating was that you felt that God had said you aside was some sort of a destiny, and you used that word, there was a destiny for you. And so even at that young age,
I
don't be embarrassed by it, because that was very impressive to me. I think it was one of the things that God used to say, this is the man I want you to marry. Who ever says anything like that? I wanted to be married to someone who felt that God had prepared him for some sort of destiny. So what do we do with this destiny feeling as we age? Now that we're in our old age, without a lot of the communication opportunities we've had in the past.
That's one of the frustrations.
That's the frustration that we're dealing with the most. Mm. And the writing world has changed. I haven't published anything for 20 years. No one knows who I am, whereas before that used to be different. So what do we do with this kind of urgent calling, this urgent message, without the platforms that we used to have? And that is something I think we need to go before the Lord and really pray that he will open that up. Or our day for that has passed, and this is a message God has given to us to bear in intercessory prayer for those younger leaders that he is raising up.
Yeah, I'm in that position, even in calling people to pray. I regularly do that, both in a sermonizing type of thing and also on a personal level. I said to people, here's an opportunity, you can join with us. But I feel as though the Lord is kind of behind my back, gently but more forcibly, now saying, you have to be more vocal. And I say, I don't know how to be more vocal and still be a nice guy. And maybe he's saying to me, forget the nice guy.
Yeah.
You know, this is a day where urgency is going to be more and more important. I need you to be open to that. And I'm at a place where I'm at unease, but I'm wrestling with that. And I'm thinking that there are numbers of people
who maybe as well. That's a good thought. I hadn't thought about that. Yeah.
And I pray for them, even though I don't know who they are. And I pray for them, especially in the younger generation, that the Lord will raise up those people and that they will be able to be obedient. Thank you, friends, for letting us just talk. We're human beings like everybody else. I don't want to be a part of the problem. I don't want to say things that make us appear more holy than we are. I don't want to go out in these last days that we have and have this sense that I miss what God wanted me to do. When I've felt all through our lives that we have gone out on the edge many, many times, and he's always sustained us.
In obedience, what we thought was obedience to what he was asking of us.
Yeah, so anyway, it's an interesting day and very difficult day to try to put all the pieces together. You know, it would be helpful, Karen, people who hear us, if they resonate with where they are and they have thoughts that could be helpful or words that would be beneficial, don't hesitate. Make connection with us. We would appreciate that very much. If God speaks out loud to us, that would be very scary.
But he often does through other people.
He often does. Yes, often. That has been a great blessing that he has given us in terms of our lives. So don't remain silent, friends.
Yeah.
I don't have anything more to say.
Okay, let's have Dean close this out. All right, thank you, Dean.
Friends, do you sense an urgency in your life? Is God suggesting that you be more urgent in the message you share with your friends? If so, connect with us. We would love to hear from you. You've been listening to the Before We Go podcast. And if you would like to write to us, please send us an email at the following address, hosts@beforewego.show. That's all lowercase letters, hosts@beforewego.show. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please remember to rate, review, and share on whatever platform you listen. This podcast is copyright 2023 by Mainstay Ministries, Post Office Box 30, Wheaton, Illinois, 60187.